This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 275 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuddersincpodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, once again, the man who's way more arrogant than people would have him believe, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Don't talk to me like that, you young... No, I'm
very well indeed.
I thought that was very funny.
A little backstory should be put into that opening, I suppose, shouldn't I?
Yeah, why not?
First two important things.
Yeah.
How are you feeling, darling? Are you okay, man? You okay, love?
Call me Lazarus.
You're okay, sweetie? You doing all right? Yeah.
Back from the dead.
Got over the man flu, did you? Yeah. I know it's the worst thing known, the worst disease. These people are suffering from Ebola in Africa. They got nothing. Nothing on man
That's
flu.
That's right.
You feeling okay, though?
Yes, thank you.
Good to hear.
Better than last week.
Just man up, dude.
Yeah.
We could have done this from the hospital bed.
Yeah, I don't think we could have somehow. Yeah.
Oh, no Wi-Fi? Oh, it wasn't Wi-Fi the issue.
Yeah, I don't think Wi-Fi was the only issue. Yeah.
Oh, noise.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. All the machines in the background. You have the machine that goes bing, bing.
Whilst we're talking Python,
yeah,
because that's for those who don't know, that was a Python reference. The machine that goes ping. I happened to catch the reunion concert the other night.
Okay,
of the Monty Python's reunion at the O2 in England.
Right,
and it was pretty darn good. But the best part of the whole thing, you know, the universe song. The universe itself keeps on expanding in all their own directions. You've got to go YouTube. It's a fabulous song. But it's all about the science of the universe and our place and everything else. And it's incredibly well-written lyrics.
Right.
But at the end of it, they cut to this little scene by a river. And it's I can't remember the name of the guy, but this incredibly famous scientist, young buck scientist these days, who's like the new Carl Sagan, basically.
Right. Yep.
And he sitting there goes, well, look, it's a lovely song and all, but factually it's quite incorrect. There's several problems and hypotheses that you've made. And he starts rabbiting off, and whilst he's doing this in the background, he sees this guy coming up in a wheelchair.
Right.
And it's Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking, yeah.
He bowls him over, and he goes, stop being so arrogant. Or picky. I don't think it was arrogant. Picky. And he goes off, and then in Stephen Hawking voice starts singing the song.
Right.
It brought chills to my spine.
Yeah, right.
I had a little tear in the corner of my eye. Yeah, science, which I love, and Monty Python, two of my worlds colliding. And then there was Stephen Hawking in the audience. They put a spotlight on me. Oh, it was fabulous. It was a touching moment.
Excellent.
But anyway, just while we mentioned Python, I thought I'd bring that up.
Well, it's funny that you should mention Python, because only an hour ago there was a promo on TV for The Meaning of Life, and it had in the promo the little clip of, we have the machine that goes, bing, bing.
So, well, it's also got the song.
Has it? Right.
The universe itself keeps expanding.
Well, there you go.
It's fabulous. Eric Idle, you got to YouTube it. For those nerdy science folk like us out there, it's just magnificent.
Yep.
So arrogant.
Yes.
Here's the thing, you know, Facebook doesn't do humor very well. people are so earnest.
Or sarcasm.
Sarcasm's predominantly a spoken word, apparently. So I put this post up, and this actually happened, but a couple of weekends ago I was in a friend's wedding party, and over the course of the weekend I was called arrogant at least 8 times, or was that about 8 times? And then my post kept on going, it's been playing on my mind since. I don't know what I did wrong. I can't figure out why it was that I was so far below my normal average. Yes. Right. And then people cannot, people mistake confidence for arrogance. Don't change. Stay who you are. You know? Some people are weird and have no class. If they can't say something nice, they should shut their mouths.
Oh, it was like you put something up only a couple of weeks ago I was the second best in my time slot.
That's right. It was like, and then someone said straight away,
people just completely miss it.
I said, yes. It's like, I've got to stop doing it. So I put up two posts today, and my wife won the internet on the second one.
Right.
In my book. And my comment was, I see a lot of people offering the ultimate photo workshop.
Right.
Yeah. It seems the market is saturated with ultimate photo workshops. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking of offering penultimate workshops. And I reckon I'll be the first person offering them. To which my wife came back and she said, you may be the first, but a penultimate workshop won't be the last.
Nice.
It's the penultimate.
Nice. So
that one people kind of got. Yeah. And then someone said, no, you should do like a post-apocalypse workshop. post-ultimate apocalypse. Because, I mean, let's face it, you know, once you've had the biggest, well, it's all zombies after that.
That's right.
So we could do a zombie post-apocalypse ultimate workshop.
Excellent.
My goodness. Yeah, so just I'm thinking of toning down my sarcasm, my humour.
On Facebook.
For want of a better.
For the written word, anyway.
for want of a better phrase, my humour.
Oh, dear.
So other than your stay away from the light, Bruce, stay away from the light, Bruce moment last week, how's your week been? Did you get anything in the mail?
I did, yes.
Did you?
All the photo books arrived today.
How's that for a segue, hey?
That's great. Yeah.
Segue more than a thing you can ride on.
That's right. But just to backtrack, for those who...
Do you have any idea why they called it a segue? Just whilst we're talking.
Just,
it doesn't make any
just
sense.
While we're derailing the podcast. No, why did they call it a segue?
I don't know. I thought you might know, being the nerd that you are.
No, I don't.
Googling it.
That's I know
it.
The guy who invented it rode one
did
off
you?
A cliff.
What's his name? He went off a cliff. He did.
He rode it off a cliff.
Did it kill him?
Yes.
Oh, good. No, I mean, sorry to hear that, family and friends.
But for those who were wondering, I had what they're putting down to an anxiety attack, but I thought I was having a heart attack. It was, you know, it was crushing pain in my chest and pain down my left arm.
It's called marriage. Dude.
All of which is symptoms of, you know, well-known symptoms of heart attacks. But
so is hypochondria. That's a well-known sign.
Yeah, so anyway, they reckon I'm just stressed and anxious or something.
No, all this work you've been doing for this rally, all these extra hours.
Yeah, plus all the audio work. See, I haven't discussed the audio work.
It hasn't got to you, is that what you're saying?
So anyway, to come back to the photo books.
Before we worry about something as piffling as your health, the name segue is a homophone of segue, a smooth transition. There you are. So it's a smooth transition from walking to moving.
Ah, right.
It was important. We had to cap that off. Otherwise, I wouldn't sleep tonight, Bruce.
Okay.
I wouldn't sleep.
Fair enough.
And I'm sure several of our listener would feel the same way.
So anyway, the photo books arrived today.
Did they?
Yes. Many, many boxes of them.
Many.
So there's, I think there's about 92 photo books in all, and they split them up across six boxes, and each box is about...
That's like 15 boxes, a book's a box.
Something like that.
Plus two left over.
And each box would be equivalent to about three slabs of beer in size.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And there's six of them. So somehow I don't think I'm going to be going to the follow-up meeting on the motorbike.
I was going to say, that's because you get a little trailer out the back. Just glue them all together and put wheels on the bottom one.
That's it, yes.
It becomes its own trailer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just before we go on.
Yeah.
I have seriously bad internet down here at the moment.
Yeah.
Constantly dropping out.
Right.
So I just want to apologise in advance if I make more sense than normal, because about every fifth word's going to probably drop out because of the bad internet.
Right.
So well, just
so far it's been okay.
Okay, but just in case I'm making more sense than most weeks, I'd just like to apologise in advance.
Right. Okay.
15 books a box, you say?
Approximately, yeah. So
near as.
I've opened up one box and
averaged out.
Sorry. Yes, something like that. And I've got to say, I'm really happy with them. They look great.
Are you?
Yes.
Do you like them?
I do.
What do you like about them? What are they glossy covered?
They are glossy covered.
Do they have a bifold? Yeah, with those dust jackets? That's what I'm thinking of.
No, they're a hard cover.
Okay.
With a with jacket. Photographic outside, you know, hardcover.
It's a glossy hardcover photo front. Nice.
Yeah.
What font did you choose? I find that about the hardest thing to do when making a book is choosing font.
Do you really?
I just can't.
I have to say I have two or three very like favorite fonts.
Yeah.
And for a formal font, it's one called Blue Ridge.
Really?
Which I like. And that's the font I used predominantly throughout all of the projects for the Kidney Car Rally stuff. And the paper stock on it is, it's really nice, thick, heavy paper stock. I think it's about 180 gram for the pages. 210. 210. 210 gram. So, yeah, really happy with them. They look great.
Nice.
I really do think that the guys at Kidney Health are going to be very happy with them when
couldn't
they
couldn't
you
get gone them. Away with like cheaper everything and made more money for yourself?
Maybe.
Just checking. just looking at the Blue Ridge font, that's rather purdy.
Oh, yeah, you like that?
It's clean.
Yeah.
I mean, the R's a bit pointy, but other than that.
Yes.
I don't like a pointy R's. Thank a little you. More rounded, Bruce.
Baby got back, eh?
Of course, to that terrible pun means nothing in North America, which, of course, is ass.
Yeah, that's
ass.
Right. That's right.
Anyway.
So, anyway.
Innuendo, more than just an Italian suppository.
That's right.
I've been in a fairly normal mood all day, say, Bruce. I think I might have popped tonight. I might have blown a gasket or something.
Right.
Feeling a little bit nutty.
Okay.
And I'm allergic to nuts.
A bit nuttier than usual.
And I'm allergic to nuts, which is not good.
Right.
Anyway, so you like the books. When are you delivering them?
Sunday week. So about 8 days from today.
And the whole job's done now and finished for you?
Well, in terms of the content that I am contracted to deliver, yes. There's a couple of things I still need to do. One is to create invoices for all those people who bought additional product, just so they've got something for their own tax records. And I need to get all 1,250-odd images up on my website so that people who want to order extra images can do so.
Hmm.
So, yeah. But they're not things I was contractually obligated to do. They're just additional things that I want to get
done. Like that album from Monty Python, once again.
Yes, exactly.
The contractual obligational album. Yeah.
That's it. So,
which had John Denver being attacked by a duck, which I always like.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the far more abusive lyrics that they had, that disgusting, which they were sued and not allowed to actually put on the album.
Is that right?
Yeah, something about on a pillow. And if you ever want to...
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, on my pillow, if you...
Okay. No idea, but anyway.
I'm sure it's out there on YouTube somewhere, should anyone want to be disgusted.
Right. So anyway, where were we?
I think we're finished. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
What?
So I'm organising a photo shoot for the day after that.
Really?
Yes, on the Sunday.
Why? Would you want to just lay down and relax?
I really should, I know. But a mate of mine, I think I might have mentioned this to you over the phone a couple of weeks ago, mate of mine in Sydney, just before I left on the rally, rang me to tell me that he'd bought the Sony A7S.
Yeah.
And I called him every expletive under the sun because I was so jealous. So
I've got a few, but my other views, so I'll send them to you.
Right.
You can pass them on as well.
So I said to him, well, mate, we've got to get together after, you know, after I get all the rally stuff out of the way, we'll get together and we'll do a shoot and, you know, I'll organise a model and we'll do something. And he said, yeah, that'd be great. So, so I'm organising that for Sunday week. So
nice. What are you going to shoot?
No idea yet. Got to find a model.
No ideas. They're hard to find. Especially in a country without many of that type of
that's right. Corner. Yes. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
No, I'm not going there. Too expensive by half.
So the only thing that I had on my list of things to
I don't want to feel like I'm talking the rest of the whole podcast.
Yeah, well, it will be anyway. So the one thing I had was a portfolio of images by a guy called, oh, I don't even have it now.
Billy Joe Jim Bob.
Yeah, him, who basically set up a tripod and takes images. Wolfgang Hildebrand is his name.
How can you forget that?
Good question. But he sets up his camera on a tripod and he takes images through the day, but then waits till nighttime and takes more images from the exact same location. And then he blends the images together, so you end up with these kind of surreal images that are half daytime, half nighttime. It's something different, something I'd not seen before.
It is indeed
different.
Well, it's one word for it. Yes, pointless is probably it. Too much time on your hands. Another thing that springs to mind.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's that too.
They just don't look.
What do you mean?
Interesting enough.
Okay.
That just looked like, you know, when you do like a long exposure shot just as blue hour starts.
I've got to say, I am surprised that he chose to include the daytime sky. See, yeah. I would have gone for nighttime sky and then brought some of the daytime stuff into the foreground.
Yeah, maybe just paint some and do quasi bits of each. Bring out the best of both worlds. Because if you ever shoot a long exposure you're sort of setting up for a shot, you're waiting for nightfall to come.
Yep.
You want to try and, you're just going to get your angles right and start checking your exposures. And you do your first one whilst it's still too light and you know it's too light.
Yeah, of course you do.
But you're just doing it just to see how it looks.
Yeah.
Well, this is how they look.
Right.
Yeah, the sky's too light. The buildings are all too light. Everything that is through time is a bit too, it's still a bit translucent. You can still sort of see stuff.
Yeah.
So it hasn't quite got the effect you want yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm with you. A little bit of.
I can see potential for the idea.
I think the idea is excellent.
Yeah.
A little thing about execution. It's obviously art.
Look, the reason I included it is because it wasn't like anything else I'd seen from any other photographer.
Kudos for doing something absolutely different. it's a great thought behind the idea. I just don't know, for my tastes, whether the execution is. But obviously it's great because it's on the internet.
That makes it awesome.
Somebody else is talking about this guy's photos and they're not talking about mine, so who am I to talk about?
Yeah.
It must be art because I don't understand it.
Right.
So, no, kudos to him for that and stuff. But I'm tempted. But what it has done is it's tempted me to go, well, next time I travel, maybe I'll try something similar.
Yeah.
But as you say, try and blend more of the night elements and the best night elements and the best day elements.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine like it's just off the top of my head, like a neon sign that's got like chrome around the outside. We get the daylight part of the chrome, so it's got that beautiful glow.
The sun shining off it, yep.
Yeah, and then you've got the nighttime, actual glow of neon.
Yeah.
Which you wouldn't get at nighttime. You wouldn't get the chrome at nighttime.
No.
That'd be easy to me, you start bringing all those elements. You might get like a really cool cloud reflection on the window.
Yep.
Where you keep that in, and the rest around the building's nighttime.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, that really is, you know what I mean? That really is quite surreal and really, really jars the brain. A little bit more.
Yep.
But that's just, my idea.
Yeah. And Carl Hemming sent us an interesting infographic
lovely type Carl.
Thing. I think he's just captured this out of a digital camera magazine, issue 155. It was page 30 to be exact. How do I know this, Glenn?
How do you know that, Bruce?
Because of the text at the bottom of the graphic.
That'll do it.
Yes. 350 billion?
Have you got your little finger in your mouth when you say that?
It's 350,000 million. So
350 million.
No, it's 350,000 million.
Yeah, but it depends on where you're from.
Yeah, okay.
Because billions aren't the same everywhere.
No.
Some are 100 million.
Yes.
Some are 1,000 million.
No. In England, a billion is 1,000 million.
Yeah, and in America.
Is a million million. And in America, it's 1,000 million.
Yeah, so that's just confusement, isn't it?
So, right. So if this was an English...
There's a lot of photos.
Yeah. Number of the number, by the way, represents the number of images uploaded to the internet in 2013.
I was not responsible for all of them, I'll tell you right now.
Yes. Yeah, what is interesting is the millions of compact cameras sold per month. In 2011, it was 10 million compact cameras per month. By 2013, a mere 2 years later, that number had shrunk to 4 million compact cameras per month.
Yeah.
So
it'll be a third of that now.
Given that the text says the Chicago Sun-Times laid off its that's referring to them laying off their... so I don't know whether this is... I'm assuming it's an American publication, but I don't know for sure.
It's on the internet. Everything's from America.
Well, that's it. Given the other thing says percentage of images shot with a mobile phone in the US suggests that this is probably a US publication.
Yeah.
In 2000, 0% of images... were shot with a mobile camera.
Yeah, I can tell you this too. Not a single photograph put up on the internet in 1990 was done with a cell phone or a mobile phone.
That's right. And it was still the case in 2000.
Yeah, but like zero, like nothing. I'll tell you, there wasn't a single compact camera that did it either or a single SLR.
What?
In 1990, there was not a single image uploaded to the internet by digital SLR, digital compact camera, or mobile phone.
Yes, good point. It was all analog.
Same thing, 1970. So,
yeah.
If you go back far enough, Bruce, all my statistics start to make sense.
That's right. It's like the quote from Abraham Lincoln, you can't trust everything you read on the internet.
Exactly.
So moving on, percentage of images shot with a mobile phone in the US. 2000, it was 0%. By 2012, it was 37%. And by 2015...
38.5%.
They are expecting 50% of all images shot with a mobile phone in the US.
Yeah.
Wow. Crazy.
Crazy.
So not many people are using cameras anymore.
Even higher in India.
Is that right?
Yeah, because in India, they pretty much only have
mobile phones. They don't own cameras. Yeah.
Everywhere I've seen over there, they always is shooting with cell phones, which is interesting.
I only just turned my head sideways to read the piece of text that's running up the side of the page.
Really?
How many pictures? 3.5 trillion photos in 175 years.
Wow.
That sounds a bit on the low side to me.
Well, only if you go to 1970, it'd be like about 500 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exponential growth it's exponential, really, when you think about it.
I think there's girls doing duck face selfies who take that many images.
Well, yeah. I'm sure I've mentioned it before about the postcard I picked up in Vegas. Yeah, it was a split postcard. There's an astronaut on the moon. And a girl in the bathroom. Went to the moon, took 5 photos. Went to the bathroom, took 37.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, thing.
Yes. Anyway, so that's all I have. What do you got?
Well, since we didn't record last week,
yeah.
I had this great stuff ready for last week.
Right.
And so I just kept that because I was far too lazy to do any more this time around.
Right. Excellent.
Just out of date.
Okay.
They've just invented film. No, it's not quite that out of date. But the weekend before last, I was in a wedding party.
Yes. Yeah, we've covered that. You're arrogant. Yes.
Other than the arrogant. But that was
there's more to that story.
There's more than just me being arrogant.
My goodness.
Yeah, after about the fifth time, I was starting to take it personally. You know? Was it everything I said? I don't know. No, but it was very interesting being on the other side of the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Yeah, and are you sitting down, Bruce?
I am.
Excellent. Listener, sit down too. I kept my mouth shut.
Oh, I find that hard to believe.
Aren't you glad you're sitting?
Is that why they called you arrogant?
I think so.
Because you were sitting there not saying anything.
Too proud to talk to us. Yeah. Didn't suggest a single photograph to the photographer.
Right.
didn't suggest a single angle.
You just thought, I'll let him stuff it all up for himself.
I almost had to headbutt the wall a few times. I sneakily may have suggested to one of the other bridesmaids to suggest a shot, but she wouldn't do it. It would have been a cracker, yeah. Yeah, so I kept my mouth shut. So I was pretty proud of that. That was good.
Nice.
Because that's going to be a tough gig, with me hovering.
I could think of nothing worse than being the photographer asked to shoot the wedding of a photographer.
Yeah. It's got to just be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Especially an arrogant one. Or even worse,
yes.
Not somebody who's in the wedding party, because the groom, well, he's hired you. He's probably going to be quiet. But it's the arrogant mongrel and a couple of doors down. He's the one you've got to watch out for, because he's got the time.
Yeah.
And he's not stressed.
Yeah. Glenn.
Yeah.
When you get remarried, I'm busy.
Yeah. Third time's a charm, they say. No, I want a photographer for my wedding, though, groom.
Fair enough.
But
anyway,
there was a period of time when said photographer, who was travelling in a separate vehicle to us, we were all in the minibus.
Right.
He got stuck in bad traffic and couldn't get a parking spot in the city where we were doing some shots on the bridge by the Melbourne and stuff. So I jumped out and did an iPhone shoot.
Of course you did.
Yeah. I've got some cracking shots, but I did an iPhone shoot.
Yeah.
And that's where I got to, and as the groom says, I haven't seen him this happy all day. So I was actually finally getting to shoot and do stuff. But the looks on people's faces basically was, wow, these poor people, all they could afford for the wedding photographer was a guy with a phone. So I did a whole bunch of shots.
Yeah.
And got some crackers, got some beautiful shots, some wonderful lights and everything else.
Yep.
And I actually want to do a wedding with an iPhone.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, but like someone who's like getting around for the fourth time or something.
Yeah, right.
Really hot. It's going to be hot and young, because otherwise the photos aren't looking good. Hot, young, fourth wedding.
Right.
And she better be good looking too.
I think you need to go to Hollywood, mate. You've got half a chance.
Just go to Vegas.
Yeah.
Surely there's going to be getting married by Elvis. Then they're going to care who takes the photos with what. But I would love to do it. I would love to do an iPhone wedding.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I reckon you could do a bang-up job. with the right accessories.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little LED light.
Yep.
For some points.
Yep.
Some lenses, some decently, like a wider lens and a bit more portrait lens.
Mm-hmm.
The right app to control exposure.
So are there clip-on lenses for iPhones, are there?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. There's some incredible ones out there.
Yeah, right.
Some really expensive ones, like, yeah, hundreds of dollars for the lens.
Wow.
And superb quality.
At least half what you paid for the phone.
Exactly. So I reckon that would be too. I would enjoy that.
Yeah, right.
Maybe one of those like a Chinese, you know, Chinese couple getting married to do like the weekend before shots.
Yeah.
And then the actual wedding day. Well, maybe they could do a weekend before the weekend.
Right.
Yeah. So they have to do it three times now, unfortunately. But they could do one just for the iPhone, one for the real camera and the video guys, and then the actual wedding.
Right.
Anyway, so I did a natural light portrait workshop last week. Nothing unusual there.
No.
But what makes me bring it up was one of the guys came along, and it was a fabulous guy, lovely guy. But in the typical introduction, you know, why are you here? His was, oh, I'm not here to learn how to shoot people.
What?
Yeah.
To a natural light portraiture workshop.
Portrait workshop. And I've looked at him. He goes, no, I'm a wildlife photographer. And I want to learn how to use light on my subjects better. And how to get exposure. Because, let's face it, a photo of a dog's face ain't much difference than some of the a model shot, really.
Yeah, but very rarely does wildlife agree to your request to turn your head towards the light.
No, but you will be able to see better opportunities. I loved him for it. I thought it was a great. He actually is spending the rest of his life, well, at least for the time being,
right.
Traveling the world to photograph penguins.
Right.
He wants to photograph every species of penguin on the planet.
Wow.
52. 52 and mostly retired.
Wow.
Yeah, I hate him. Yeah. And his wife retired 4 years ago when she was even younger.
Yeah.
And just for fun, went and studied to become a polar biologist.
Right.
So just spending the rest of their time hanging around Antarctica and Arctic Circle and
wow.
just doing cool. And he's on the board of the World Wildlife Federation now and doing all this sort of cool stuff.
Wow.
But it was great. He came along and he really, really grasped some concepts about how to, you know, when to shoot, how to shoot, how to isolate, how to create different moods and feels. And if you've got a flock, I don't know, you call them a flock of penguins.
Yeah.
But they call it a flock. I don't know, a bunch, a group, a murder of pelicans. That's crows.
That's crows.
But yeah, and how to either make it look like there's lots of them, or just a single one, or how to isolate, how to use it. I think it was. I encourage lots more people to come to my workshops for photographing all sorts of other things.
Fair enough.
Because yeah, it's good for the bank balance.
Yeah. Wow, so that's interesting. And hopefully you quizzed him at the end of the day. Did he feel like he got some value from that?
No, I asked him how'd you get rich.
What did he say?
Oh, he's actually in marketing. Yeah, so it's right. Lies. It's called a colony.
Right. Anyway, okay.
Or a rookery or a wattle.
A wattle of penguins. A wattle,
yeah. But a group of pelicans in the ocean, that's all land-based ones, but in the ocean they're called a raft.
Penguins or pelicans?
Penguins.
Right, you said pelicans. Okay.
The same thing.
Yeah, right. Not quite.
Yeah, similar. Most pelicans are black and white, aren't they?
Yes.
Yep. Has a pelican got a beak? Penguin's got a beak. Right. Two legs? Two legs. Feathers? Feathers.
Okay.
In water. Come on. We're not talking that much difference. Do they both eat fish? Absolutely.
All right.
It ain't that much difference. Yeah, nods as good as a wink to a blind bat.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
right.
Yeah, he loved it. He got so much out of it. And,
cool.
And he starts seeing. And the same thing, the principles of learning how to use light,
yep.
whether you're a landscape shooter, a macro shooter, yeah, it's all the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as you say, you can't get something to move its head around.
No.
But you will see opportunities that are there when you learn how to look for stuff.
Sure.
And how to actually get your exposure right and how to shoot it to its best and so on. So,
yep.
So it was very cool.
Cool.
So onto non-me stuff.
Yeah.
I know, hard to believe. I saw last week that Yong Nuo, however they're actually pronounced.
Yes.
Have entered the lens market.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
I did.
Well, we'll talk about it then.
I have nothing to say.
Oh, should we mention it for the listener?
I have nothing to say about it.
Yeah, so they're doing a copy.
But it will be interesting.
50mm 1.4. It looks just like the Canon 50. I suppose they're the same thing, the flash. Their flashes look exactly like the Canon flashes. Well, this lens looks exactly like the Canon lens.
Right. So is it only Canon mount that they're doing?
Yeah, at the moment they've only got a Canon, Yong Nuo 50mm 1.4.
Yep. It kind of makes sense that they would go Canon because the last of their flagship flash units that they brought out was a wireless enabled version like the Canon flash.
Yeah.
So obviously they have.
But you saw their new trigger we talked about a few months ago, episodes ago, where their transmitter can talk to both Sony, Canon, and Nikon TTL flashes at the same time.
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, I'm sure we talked about it a few episodes. Yeah, they brought out this transmitting device that can TTL multiple different brands of flashes at the same time.
Wow.
Which is...
That's slick.
Pretty spanking, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very spanking indeed.
Well, I wish them luck. It'll be good to see if they can shake up the market a bit.
It's always nice. I mean, looking at Canon just reduced their prices, some of their expensive lenses by up to 30%.
Wow. Recently.
And... yeah, people like Tamron and Sigma are really cutting into their marketplace, and then people like Samyang and Rokinon and all these other people that they're nibbling away at their market share,
yep.
and their market dominance, I guess, as well. And so they're sort of coming around to the fore.
Yeah,
and you
right.
think about it, I've never thought of this before, and it's just sort of hitting my head right now.
Yeah.
So it could be vastly, just crazily wrong.
Yeah.
But back in the day...
Yeah.
Right. So we're talking film days.
Right.
People buying 70-200 2.8 lenses, as an example, were a fairly small portion of the market.
Yes.
So one of the reasons they were expensive is because they didn't make very many of them.
Yeah. Supply and demand.
Now, every Tom, Dick and Larry
yep.
is buying a 70-200 2.8.
Yep.
So they must be making a ton more of them.
Yes. Which means economy of scale has to come into effect.
And they haven't come down in price.
Yeah, until now.
Well, that's not when the lenses that changed.
Oh, okay. Right. Course,
yeah. That's interesting. That was, I never thought of that until just then. That, you know, surely they're making a hell of a lot more of this. A, there's a lot more people involved in the sport.
Yep.
B, there's a lot more people with expendable income that can afford the finer things in life.
Yep.
So, interesting.
Hmm.
Could be complete crud, but anyway. Who knows?
It sounds good in theory.
Yeah, theory is always good. I love a good theory until you delve too deep into it and realize it all falls over. Anyway. So, a couple of interesting things I came across.
Yeah.
I came across this project called, or this series of photos called Falling Into the Day.
Right.
By a photographer called Christopher Munn. Okay. There's this guy who's photographing his father falling into Alzheimer's.
Right.
And
is this not something that we...
No, we talked about Days With My Father.
Oh, different project?
Well, that was a guy who already had Alzheimer's, right, as opposed to becoming ill with Alzheimer's. So it's an earlier version. And right, that was photographing him after his wife had died and... Yeah, and explain daily why. And once again, if you're new to the podcast and you haven't seen dayswithmyfather.com, get a box of tissues, sit down and have a look through that. It's an incredibly emotive site. Still one of my favorite websites on the entire, outside of porn, one of my favorite websites on the internet.
Absolutely. Yeah, right.
I know that's saying something, isn't it? his dad's still mostly with it.
And right.
He's photographing the journey into, well, falling into the day as he sort of disappears a bit more and a bit more.
Yeah.
And incredibly emotive, very strong. So, and my mum's going through, has Parkinson's. And so she's on a steady decline. And I can empathize with what these people are going through. I mean, her brain will remain sharp. Well, sharp as it ever was. But she just won't be able to function. And I'm not sure which is, I don't want to speak light of it, but I'm not sure which I would prefer to have if I had to make a choice.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather my brain not to be active.
Yes.
Personally, I don't know. I want to be, I'm no Stephen, you might not have guessed, I'm no Stephen Hawking, brain wise. So I can't just sit there and think cool stuff because I've heard all my jokes, heard all my stories. You gotta do it after that. Anyway, then I came across this interesting thing on Petapixel. This artist, and I use the term in parenthesis and fairly loosely,
right,
is recreating a whole bunch of classic cameras in concrete.
As you do.
And they're anatomically correct.
Wow.
It's like, so okay.
So is he...
Time on your hands.
Just pouring a huge concrete block and then chiseling it away like a sculpture?
Are you assuming I did any form of depth? I told you. Scratch at the surface. Don't go too deep.
Right.
Let the listener go and learn, and so they can say, find the majesty and joy for themselves.
Right. Okay.
It's our job to enlighten and introduce.
Man, there's a hell of a lot of detail.
Is it?
Wow.
Is it anatomically correct?
Jeez.
I mean, the guy's mad.
Yeah.
It's a meat axe. Mind you, if you drilled a little hole through the lens, you can make a pinhole camera. It should be, imagine that you've got this 30-foot statue of a camera and you drill a tiny little hole in the middle and turn it into a real camera.
Yeah, right.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll sneak in one night and do it.
Wow, that's incredibly detailed.
Yeah, they're amazing. As the headline is, surprisingly detailed concrete recreations.
Yeah.
And then the next thing was this bit of footage with another drone bit of footage, but this guy flew his drone into an exploding volcano.
Yeah, that was
and
great.
And melted a bit of his
drone.
His GoPro. His GoPro melted a bit.
That's right.
But the footage is astounding.
Yes.
I'd melt a GoPro for that too.
Yeah.
That was really good. And then look, you know, I came across the solution for everyone's woes this week.
Right.
Doesn't everyone know, where's the perfect location?
Yeah.
I want to shoot in the – we don't all have access to Hollywood film scouts who know all the locations, right?
No, that's correct.
But I found on photofocus.com the secrets to finding the perfect location. Now, everyone should go and look at the whole list, but I pulled out my favourite.
Yeah.
Which was ask a friend. Ask. Ask them, do you know anywhere cool? The secrets to finding a perfect location is ask a friend. Oh, God. It's just...
I thought the Photo Hotshots website was a better idea than
I'm thinking ask it, it's like phone a friend.
Yep.
Look, I'm in Melbourne, don't normally come here very often. Where is a good place to take some photos then, eh? I must admit I've often gone to an information booth like in the country, a tourist information booth, and said, look, do you know any rundown old buildings nearby? I said, other than the one we're in, you mean? Because those tourist booths aren't particularly well looked after. You can try the toilet block out in the back. That's pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
Not quite what I had in mind, sir. but this next piece I want to talk about is called Pinup Perfection.
Right.
And this guy who's doing a blog post on this incredible fashion location shoot, bikini model, $1,000 an hour model.
Right.
And I think he used the secrets to finding the perfect location website to find his location.
Right.
Because he said he did a week of location scouting.
Right.
For the shoot. And the photo he's got.
Yep. Could be anywhere.
It's basically a girl in a bikini in front of a bit of thatch from a hut.
Yeah.
It could.
Yep.
You searched a week for that?
Yeah.
Is I don't. No, and then it just does my head in, Bruce. Yeah, what people?
The idea is that you're distracted by the girl and you don't take notice of the fact that
absolute tripe that's on the internet. And speaking of tripe that's on the internet, my website's creativephotoworkshops.com. speaking of tripe, no, but you do a whole blog post about how hard it was to find a location. And look, I'm sure he's probably got some shots that. Has that location been used?
Yeah.
But the one he uses in his blog, as I said, is a piece of hut.
Yeah.
Effectively.
Where is Laguna Beach?
Next to non-Laguna. It's in California.
I was going to say, it's like not far from LA, is it?
No. It's in downtown LA, just about.
Right. So a week of photo scouting to find a location that's on a beach in a city like LA. I don't call that a particularly, you know, extensive search.
It might not have been exhaustive. No. It may, but the simple fact that he's mentioning the fact that he tried so hard. Yeah. A week of location scouting. Yeah. Yeah, making it sound like he's done all that. And it's how I got the shot, you know, it's advancing your photography, you know, and you know,
yeah.
It's one of the top models in California. I scouted the location, South Laguna Beach, a full week. Oh, hang on a sec. He scouted a full week before the shoot. He didn't scout it for a week. He walked on, oh, that'll do.
Yeah.
I've scouted like that too. Yeah, that's good enough.
Yeah.
She's not that good looking anyway. She $1,000 for 20 minutes of time. So she's a $3,000 an hour model.
Wow.
But here, with the logistics taken care of, yeah, what logistics? She's standing in front of a piece of rotten seaweed. Where's the fetus going to gestate? In a box? Monty Python again. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on a sec. He's a photographer and graphic designer. There, he's a graphic designer.
That's
right. We should look at his website just to see. Oh, he's got a tips and tricks book.
Has he?
Had a location scout.
From the comfort of your own home.
just lay there and just look at stuff. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
From the comfort of your own home. I used to know a location scout for movies years ago. He was a great guy. Some cool spots. I lost track of him, unfortunately. But
See, there's a guy who knows how to scout.
Yeah.
You can't find him.
Seen you had a hide, you had a look. But I reckon if he would have wanted to find me, he could.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, his name's Jason Bourne. Anyway, So that was about it. That's all of that was really of interest. I'm sure stuff's come out this week that's of interest, but but I want to add one extra thing. Just one little final little conversation piece.
Right.
Before we bid adieu. I was listening to some music tonight.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite lyrics came up in a song that I love because it always reminds me of photography. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a Counting Crows song called Long December.
Right.
And the lyric basically is, he looks across a crowded room and sees the way the light attaches to a girl.
Right.
So to me, yeah, it's the girl's pretty, but it's the way the light attaches to her.
Yep.
Yeah, and that just, I can so visualize that, how that light shows shape and form and texture. And yeah, it's such a great photographic description of someone. And I've always loved it. And it just came up to me, I thought, oh, I wonder what other kind of, you know, photographic songs are out there that, you know, we could sort of tap into. So I went for a bit of a look.
Girls on Film, Duran Duran.
Say No More.
Centrefold, Jay Giles Band.
It's not so much about photography, but it's pornography. Yeah, but yeah, I know that one's always been a favourite too. Jay Giles, of course, you know, growing up, Duran Duran, the full frontal nudity always helped.
Yep.
Yeah, but Shake It Like a Polaroid Picture.
Don't know it.
You don't know it.
Kodachrome, Paul Simon. Sorry. Am I stealing your thunder?
I'm not asking for your freaking opinions, dude.
Sorry, mate.
Opinion, I'll give it to you.
Right.
Arrogant? Who's arrogant?
Sorry, did you have more?
My lawyer against you. Flash by Queen.
Oh, that's not about photography.
It is. I use it all the time at my Flash. You did the audio for me, remember? I wear a Flash t-shirt and play the Flash music. Flash, save your universe. It is.
Okay.
The weirdest lyric I came up with about photography.
Yeah.
And it was from a song called Photograph.
By Nickelback.
No.
Oh, okay.
We don't mention the N-word. Okay? Just leave it out. If you can edit that out altogether. Anyway. Musicist. Get this for a look. Alone in a crowd, a bartered lantern borrowed. If I'm to be your camera, then who will be your face?
Yeah. Too late at night for me to process that.
I don't understand it. Even if it was another bloody day, my boy. Photograph by REM. Alone in a crowd, a bartered lantern borrowed. If I'm to be your camera, then who will be your face? Not a clue.
No.
One of my favourite songs about photography is The Cure's Pictures of You.
Oh, okay. I don't know that.
It's a wonderful love song of loss. But they used it here in Melbourne, or maybe in up in your end of the world, for the Traffic Accident Commission.
Oh, okay.
Used it, showing families of people who'd lost, you know, sons and daughters in car crashes.
Right.
And there's, you know, the pole or tree that they crashed into, and pictures of their son or daughter attached to the tree. And so obviously, and with these Cure sad lyrics going on in the background, it's incredibly, all these people crying because there's genuine emotion and stuff.
Yep.
And, so yeah, it's a great song plus that, but, the opening line is in a really, really slow sort of sad, you know, funereal voice is, I've been looking so hard at these pictures of you that I almost believe that they're real. I've been living so long with my pictures of you that I almost believe that the pictures are all I can feel.
Yeah.
And these people holding it, looking at the photo, and it's incredibly emotive. And once again, if you've ever lost someone and you've still got their photograph, or you're stalking someone, you've got lots of their photographs. Wonderful song.
Yeah, right. But you know, it just occurred to me,
did it?
That Jay Giles Band had two hits.
Did they?
And only two hits.
What was the other one?
And the other one was about photography.
Which was that?
Freeze Frame.
I know. It's the most photographic of all of them.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got some of the lines here. Her lipstick reflex got me wound. Reflex.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday morning was a hot flash factor.
Yep.
Her face still focused in my mind. Test strip proof sheet. Love is hard to find. Friday night we'll dance the spotlight grind, Now I'm looking at a flashback Sunday, zoom lens feelings won't disappear. Close up, dark room, sweet talk in my ear.
I think someone in Jay Giles' band was a bit of a photography nut.
And possibly quite odd. just frankly.
Maybe it was a bet. how many photographic references can you get into a song?
One of my other favourite bands, which you'll say who, is a band called Wilco.
Right? I've heard of Wilco.
Oh, have you? Okay. Yeah. And they have a song called Camera, but with a K, just to be different.
Right.
Makes no sense either.
Right.
I need a camera to my eye, reminding, which lies I have been hiding, which echoes belong. I've counted out days to see how far I've driven in the dark with echoes in my heart.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this guy on this particular website goes, I just realized something. A camera looks outwards, but it's really a reflection of what's going on, like inward. It's like a periscope for your soul.
Ooh.
Now, as stupid as that little bit is, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So a camera does look outward, but it's a reflection of you. That's what I've been saying about vision is a reflection of who you are as a person. And that's why you can't shoot the same thing as someone standing next to you because they're different people.
Exactly, yeah.
So whilst the guy's been a bit facetious, it actually is pretty much spot on.
Yeah.
And he goes, but even if you see what I'm seeing, are you really seeing what I'm seeing? And the answer would be no.
Hmm.
So anyway, I thought it was interesting. And then the last one, Kodachrome. By Paul Simon.
Yep.
Yeah. They give us those nice bright colours. They give us the greens of summers. Make you think all the world's a sunny day. I've got a Nikon camera. I love to take a photograph, so mama, don't take my Kodachrome away. Everything looks worse in black and white. And this guy's a world-renowned songwriter. I mean, come on.
Man, how can you not include Nickelback?
Stop using the N-word, dude. You know, there's people in this world. Yeah.
I love Photograph. I reckon it's a great track. Do you know the song? You're just not even going to talk to me, are you? okay, then. Well, going back to Counting Crows.
Yes.
The song that you mentioned by Counting Crows.
Yes.
What was it called? Something with December in the title.
Long December.
Is that off August and everything after?
It most certainly isn't.
Right. What album's it from?
Recovering the Satellites. And all their best of hits albums, several of their live albums, couple of their reissue albums. It's been around a bit.
Okay.
But originally from the follow-up to August and everything after.
Right. Because it's funny that you should mention them because they've got a new album out right now.
Have they?
Yeah. But I don't know what it's called.
Check it out. Just whilst we mention Counting Crows, a few months ago, a friend of mine and I, my music nut Adam, we were talking about what is a good live concert. What denotes a good live concert musically? Not necessarily about performance, but musically. And I always say, well, I want the music to be fairly close to the original.
Yes,
they are allowed to go off on a little bit of tangents, but they've got to come back and keep it close. And vocally, I want to hear similar, but maybe a little bit more emotiveness, a little bit more impact, a little bit more soul in the song that the recording process often takes out. Yeah. You know?
Yep.
So that was my thing. Anyway, that afternoon I got the Counting Crows did the entire August and everything after concert album straight in the concert.
Right. Okay.
Live in England. And I put it in the CD driving home from that talk for the first ever time.
Yeah.
And it is perfection based on what I think a live album should be.
Yeah, right.
It was just like, what? They just nailed it on the head.
Yeah, right.
Which is not a good thing to do for a CD. They tend to break.
Are you a Pink Floyd fan?
I am, of course. Endless River coming out.
But I was going to say, have you heard Pulse?
I saw the concert.
Right. So the live DVD or CD of that has the entirety of Dark Side of the Moon performed in sequence.
Yeah.
Which is That's pretty damn good.
I saw Roger Waters do Dark Side of the Moon all right. And The Wall.
Wouldn't have been the same with just Roger.
It is because he's Pink Floyd in my book.
Yeah. But I don't know. I get that he was like, you know, the guy who sort of got the ball rolling, but I don't know. I
See, anyone can play the notes.
After they split, me, the stuff that Gilmore and friends continued to release garbage, under the name of Pink Floyd sounded closer to Pink Floyd than anything that Roger did.
No, he's still my beating heart. I think some of what Roger did after Pink Floyd is better than anything Pink Floyd ever did.
What?
All I say is get the album Amused to Death.
Oh, that was shite.
And immerse yourself in it.
Oh, there was one good track on it.
The entire thing is phenomenal.
Nah, there was one good song. What God Wants.
Bruce, you have no taste. What, parts one, two, or three?
I don't know. Parts. The single.
Listen to It's a Miracle. There you are. If you have to listen to it.
I loved his Radio Chaos album.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
So you like the light stuff. I like the dark stuff.
Right.
Yeah, and yeah. And to me, anyway, but I'm sure the new Pink Floyd's going to be a bit meh.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to have to listen to it. But,
yeah.
You know, I don't hold much hope. And right. I hope they don't destroy the legacy. I hope that they don't destroy the legacy. But here's an interesting factoid.
Yeah.
If they'd released an album last decade,
right,
2000 2010, they would have released an album in each decade for six decades.
Wow.
Which is quite astounding at the moment. It's the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000, 2010.
Geez, so they didn't release anything between 2000 and 2010.
Wow. No, between like 94 and
No.
97. Because... anything new. Yeah, not live albums of, yeah. Or
That's right, or, yeah, because they did Echoes came out in that decade, but that was just the best of.
It's not real stuff. It's not new stuff. Yeah. So,
wow.
Which is a fair recording feat, isn't it?
Yeah. And if you
they're still going. The Who are still going.
Rolling Stones are still going,
all from the same era, which is quite amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, they hope they die before they get old.
Yeah.
Didn't work out too well, did it?
No.
So anyway, that's total off. We should probably just cut this last minute of the podcast off altogether.
This is the best photography podcast ever.
Yeah, for us. Yeah, but when you start from a low base, Bruce. It's not hard to step up. Oh, dear. So, got anything exciting planned for the week?
This weekend, this Sunday, myself and a mate from Sydney and one of his mates whom I don't know, the three of us are going off to do an advanced rider course.
Oh.
Motorcycles.
Riding what?
Motorcycles.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that's Sunday.
Could have been horses.
Yeah, could have been, but it's not. Two wheeled horses. But no, that's about it for this week.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've got a flash workshop, so I'll be bringing out the flash. Ah, save every one of us. And nice. Save you out of the universe. Bow now, now, now. And that's about it.
Right.
Yeah.
No more photo club talks or anything?
Not at the moment, no. I've got nothing till November, I think, for those things. And
right.
No, I'm really gone on the quiet.
And you're enjoying your non-travelling phase?
I am. It's great. I'll clean the house.
Jeez. You'll be reaching to get back out on the road.
I spent like 10 hours this week cleaning.
Right.
Yeah. Monday was shot. No, Monday was tax. That was shot. Tuesday...
yeah.
All intention. Finally got the kids back to school, the wife back to work. Yep. And I said, right, here we go. I'm going to have a day of getting back into work.
Yep.
Sat down on the couch at 9 o'clock, woke up at 1 o'clock, and had to go pick the kids up. Well, there goes the day, doesn't it? But the rest of the week, house cleaning. So I've had a great week. I love that. We even whippersnippered the lawn.
Wow.
A great week. Feels good when you do stuff.
It does.
Yeah. I've got these little bands that track your movement.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm on 200% the last couple of days of walking.
Does it keep zapping you to get, see if you're alive?
If you don't move after half an hour, it gives you a little buzz. Fun enough, I get a lot of those.
Excellent.
Anyway, well, you have a lovely week.
You too, matey, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
I'm sure we will. Bye, everyone.
See ya.
And by everyone, we mean everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Shutterzing, another audiotoyou.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shutterzingpodcast.com. or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersyncpodcast.com.